Allison Mervis from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. As I said a while ago, I could complain, but who'd care? Nobody. And you're 22.
I am.
22 years old. So you were born in 85?
That's correct.
1985. Well, You know, it's great because some of the last few interviews we've done have been with young people. We did a couple of people in England who were about your age, and I did a girl the other day who's 24 that did a bunch of music for her. And you were born in 85 and you went to, you're totally blind?
Yes.
Completely? No eyes, no light, no nothing?
A little bit of light perception, but it really doesn't help me very much.
It's
just kind of there.
Doesn't do much for you. You can tell whether the Christmas tree's on or not.
Pretty much.
That'd be pretty much do it. Well, I met you on a stream list.
Yes.
So obviously you have a stream.
Yes, I do, and I love it.
I do too.
It's a great machine.
I can find very little fault with it. The only things I would change would be minor things like I'd like for the announcement, the zero key, to announce the battery level first.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
That would be nice. Because I know what book I'm in. I'm not that senile yet. Working on it, but not just quite yet. What do you read with your stream? You read books or you read your text, your school books?
A lot of my textbooks I actually get through Recording for the Blind. So they haven't implemented support for that yet, but once they do, I'll use it exclusively to read my textbooks. Right now I'm reading a lot of the NLS books from the new digital download pilot program. And that's just amazing, you know, being able to navigate those books so effortlessly.
Yeah, you know, they did one thing right, boy. That site is so easy, even a computer neophyte like me can. Because I'm not much of a computer guy. I mean, I can do certain things, but man, I find no problem locating the book I want, the author I want, and just all you click is just click download and bingo.
It just couldn't be easier. And then to be able to take several books with me on one little SD card, where I had to once, you know, not so long ago, I had to use those green cases, the tapes, you know. I had to pack a whole bag of those, and now I can fit just as many books on one little card. It's amazing.
Yeah, my wife and I were talking. The first train trip we went on, I think, was in 92 or 93. We went out to West Texas and out to Los Angeles, and I took a big old APH machine, one of those big old clunky machines, and 8 or 10, I mean, hell, a whole suitcase full of. Now it's on a card.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology progresses.
Yeah, it really has. And we finally kind of caught up a little bit, maybe. All right, when you were little Allison in the 80s, I guess you went to public school, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was mainstream from kindergarten on. I did go to a preschool for disabled children, but then they realized that it would just be best to mainstream me. And so I went to our local school district all through kindergarten, all through high school, and they were extremely accommodating. They provided me everything I needed. Obviously, someone from the intermediate unit came in to teach me Braille, which I learned very quickly. And it was an extremely positive experience, interacting with my sighted peers, making a lot of friends who I still keep in contact with to this day for the most part.
And you learned Braille when you were a little bitty kid, I mean, six.
Yes, I started learning Braille. I actually was exposed to Braille before I even could really comprehend what it was. When I was, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years old, my mom just started showing me the flashcards just so that I would get a feel for what Braille was. And then, you know, when I was 5 years old and started kindergarten, I started to actually learn what it was. And I'm thinking, oh, I felt this. You know, I can, and I picked it up really quickly.
I can do this. So your parents were rather progressive, types.
Yes, they've really done all they can to provide for me and to, you know, see that I lead as independent a life as possible.
Yeah. Do you still live at home?
Yes, for now I do. I'm trying to look for an apartment that I can afford closer to my school, but that's always, you know, that's always fun.
don't look too hard because it'll cost, you know.
I know.
Putting your feet under mommy's table is a good. Do it as long. I know you want to be out and be independent, but do it as long as you can. Trust me. So, how was public school? Did you meet other blind kids at all? Any other blind children to interact with?
I actually had pretty limited interaction with other blind children until I was a teenager, really. I had met a few. I had a woman who came out to our house to teach me daily living skills when I was about 8, and she introduced me to a few blind kids with whom I became friends. But I truly began to interact with other blind people on a regular basis when I went to what was then called Pittsburgh Vision Services for some more extensive blindness daily living vocational type training as a teenager. And I've since made a lot of blind friends. I would almost say that I, especially now with the advent of the internet and my use of it, I should say that I probably have more blind friends than sighted friends at this point worldwide.
Well, it's easier, of course, with the internet, for us all to kind of be on the same page. And
it's true.
You know, I've met so many people since we started doing things like this. High school, did you date? Did you play in the band? What did you do in high school?
I dated, not very seriously, but I did date. I was actually in the chorus. I started to really, truly discover my love for singing in eighth grade when I joined the chorus.
Okay.
And I've been singing ever since. So that was my big thing in high school. I was the singer.
So you sing, but as of yet you do not play an instrument.
As of yet, I do not play an instrument well. I can I can play enough piano to warm myself up. I can play some basic chords. I can play all of 3 chords on the guitar, and you wouldn't believe how proud I am of those 3 chords. In elementary school, I did play the clarinet a little bit, and if I picked it up right now, I probably could make it make a sound. I don't really know if it would be a pleasant sound, but it would be something.
Well, a guitar, in order to, you know, a lot of people play it a whole lot better than I do. Millions, everybody does. But but if you work to play guitar, you got to want to. You really have to want to because it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts to begin with. It hurts you a little.
Well, I got mad because my nails kept breaking. So.
Yeah, they do that. You can't. It's hard to play. Dolly Parton has figured out some way to do it with long nails. Maybe we'll call her and get some tips from her. That may be in one of her books. Who knows? I read some little book by Dolly Parton. She is so humorous, so funny.
Yes, she is.
All right. What sort of music do you sing?
Well, I specialize mainly in musical theater, some classical, and a little bit of country. I can pretty much sing anything you throw at me, though. My recent karaoke hit has been Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. So.
Yeah, did you do any acting in school, any drama, any theater?
I did do a little bit of theater, a little bit of musical theater. Unfortunately, because of my blindness, I felt as though I was sort of relegated to smaller roles, even though I had the vocal talent to play lead roles. In college, I did a little bit of acting. We didn't really do any musicals, but I did do some straight theater. So that was a really good experience for me. It made me more comfortable speaking in front of other people.
You don't seem to have a problem. You don't seem to be shy or retiring.
No, not now. I don't really recall a time in which I was ever truly shy.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm in my natural skin just speaking in front of people. I feel like I'm where I should be.
Well, it is so good that you're there at that point at your age.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't reach that until they get a whole lot older than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So high school was good for you? You enjoyed it?
High school was very good. It was a very positive experience. I mean, everybody has, you know, the group of kids who makes fun of them and everything. But I just, you know, I ignored it because I had so many wonderful friends who really cared about me as a person and, you know, who looked beyond my blindness and didn't see Allison the blind girl, just saw Allison, you know, Allison the talented singer, Allison, you know, the smart, intelligent person.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, how did you get around the campus? Did you use a cane, or did you have a dog, or what?
I used a cane, and I still use a cane. I'd like to get a dog. I'll probably get one when I move out of my house. My parents aren't really too keen on the idea of a dog in the house, but I'm probably going to get one. But yes, I learned that high school, the whole school, like the back of my hand. I could go anywhere I needed to go independently.
I think I forgot. I did forget to ask. Do you have siblings, brothers and sisters?
I do. I have an older sister. She's married and living with her husband and their dog. Uh-huh. And my brother is actually in his first year of college, my little brother.
Yeah. I would guess that that your grades, your academic average was good, just from talking to you. You did well in as far as grade-wise in school, didn't you?
I maintained about a graduation. I think I graduated with somewhere around a 4.1 GPA.
Is that right?
Yes.
What subjects, what sort of favorite subjects did you take? Do you like math or science or history or what?
I was a big history buff. I actually passed the AP history exam when I was 16. I loved English. That was actually one of my majors in college. I took a lot of English and history classes whenever I could. I am good at math. I don't necessarily enjoy it, but I'm good at it.
Uh-huh.
I am so at science. I really don't enjoy science. I'm not a very scientifically oriented person. I'm an artist. So
yeah.
Different parts of the brain.
Have you done some writing? Some short stories or
I have not really done much creative writing. I've done a awful lot of academic writing.
Uh-huh.
Not so much in high school. My high school, I guess, all public high school is pretty easy. But when I got into college, I did an awful lot of academic writing as part of both of my majors, really, as part of the English and the music major. I was required to do a lot of writing. I think that if I had time to sit down and do some creative writing, I would enjoy it, and I'd probably be able to come up with some ideas. But mainly my writing has been in a pretty academic vein.
So you took music, but mostly in college you took voice.
Yes. I actually started taking voice lessons when I was 13. Our band director's wife actually gave lessons. And I'll always credit her with helping me to find my voice, such as it is. And then I did, in fact, I wasn't sure if I was going to major in music when I went to college. I figured I was just going to take voice lessons and sing in the choir, and I wasn't sure what I was going to major in when I first went into college. But then I found out about a voice scholarship that I could get, but one of the requirements, of course, was that I majored in music. So I didn't just do it for the money. I came to love the music classes that I took and the knowledge that I gained. But yes,
money,
I did.
The money didn't hurt.
No, it didn't hurt. Not with as expensive as my school was. It really didn't hurt.
Yeah, we've got nieces and nephews that we're doing in college, and the boy has now decided to go to a local junior college, and no one has said it, but we're all very happy because it's going to cost a hell of a lot less.
Right,
you say the college you went to was expensive. Where did you go to college?
I went to Chatham College, which is actually now Chatham University. It's in Pittsburgh, and I lived in the dorm all 3.5 years. I actually graduated a semester early with an interdisciplinary major. I don't know how I quite managed to do it, but it's a very small school. It's a women's undergraduate college and a co-ed graduate school. It's a very small, very, very beautiful campus from what I'm told, and I felt as though at college I got a lot of individualized attention from professors, not condescending, but definitely individualized. I made a lot of friends. I learned the campus. Like I said, it was small, but it was big enough that learning it was a bit of a challenge. I really loved my time there.
Well, you say not condescending help, but you know, I'm not of the. I'm a blind person. I take whatever they'll help me with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really the way I am too.
Unless it's something that I just want to do by myself or master by myself, I got no problem letting my sighted brethren help me do anything. You just sound so adjusted and so well. So comfortable with yourself.
Well,
you are very comfortable with, and your major in college was music.
Yes, it was called an interdepartmental major. Uh-huh. So basically, it was the work of two majors, but it was one specialized degree. So I got that in English and music. They didn't have a specific vocal performance major, but that was my concentration. So I have a very strong background in music and in English as well, mainly English literature and analytical writing.
Really?
Yes.
Now, they say, do you know who, you probably don't, do you know who Garrison Keillor is?
I've heard the name.
Garrison Keillor does Prairie Home Companion, and he's an old English major. He says that English majors need to learn to say, do you want fries with that?
That is actually, I agree there. That's kind of why I went to graduate school.
Yeah, you need to learn to say, you want fries with that. And, of course, they're not going to hire blind people in McDonald's, so I don't know what you need to learn to say. Now, see, that would be a good thing if we could get McDonald's to hire some blind counter person. Not that you couldn't do it, just to tell you they're not going to give you a shot.
They couldn't pay me enough.
they couldn't. Oh, I always thought it'd be kind of. I thought it'd be kind of fun. We had a burger joint at one time. We don't anymore, and I thought it would be kind of fun to be the fry cook back there, mm-hmm. blind fry cook. My brother and I were working on doing it. Anyway, English and music. Mm-hmm. What do you think you can do with that? What are you hoping that you can? Where do you want to be with a degree like that?
I want to mainly concentrate on the music portion of that degree. The English portion I mainly got because I just love to read and I love to write. I had thought for a very short amount of time that I wanted to teach English in public schools, and then I realized that I was going to have to read Catcher in the Rye for 30 years, and there went that plan.
That's funny because I have Catcher in the Rye on my stream right now.
Really?
I've not read it, and I've heard about it all my life. That won't be true in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not a bad book. It's actually a pretty good book, but it's one of those books that if I had to read it for 30 years and teach it for 30 years, I would have probably gone a little insane.
All right, what do you think you can do with music? You don't have aspirations of being a country star or a rock star, do you?
I would like to do whatever the heck I can do with it, honestly. I mean, like I said, right now I'm going for the rehab counseling because that's a lucrative field and it'll put food on the table.
Yeah.
But I really, if Broadway or, the Metropolitan Opera or any genre of music comes, any record executive or someone comes calling,
if they call, you're
that's
going.
What I'd like to do. Yes, if I can get my music out to them, I can perform somewhere and have someone, of importance hear me, who could help me.
Would be nice.
I would love to make a career out of music if I can.
But you are hedging your bet by studying English and planning to. And you said in graduate school, you are in graduate school, so you've got a four-year degree, and this is what, your first or second year in graduate school?
This is my first year in graduate school,
and,
yes.
And you're taking, you told me, but I've forgotten. What are you studying in graduate school?
Rehabilitation counseling.
Well, you can always do that.
Right. And that's why. I mean, I'd like to think that, the problem is with in music, oftentimes, there are people who sing, in bars and clubs for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And they're still doing that 40 years from then.
I'm one of them. I know. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for 30 years.
Right. And I want to do that. I want to still have that experience. But I want to be able to have, I want to be able to get a well-paying job and, have a family someday and all that. So.
But you want to sing in bars some?
A little bit, anywhere where I can sing.
I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Can you do that? You need to know how to do that if you're going to sing in bars, baby.
Right. I have to work on my yodeling techniques, actually.
Why don't you? I wish I could get you to spend a couple of weeks fooling with a guitar, because there is just no thrill like being able to sit down and sing a song with you and the guitar. There's no thrill.
I imagine that it would be wonderful.
I wouldn't take for it. Guitar doesn't come easy to me. I never will be a good guitar player because I didn't start till I was older than you. But just before we talked, I went in, got me a cup of coffee, and went in my little practice room and sat there and sang, sang Lion Eyes for 15 minutes. Eagles to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just sound happy and full of life and full of full of readiness, full of anticipation, ready to live life. And you got to admire that because I know that my when I was your age, life for me was kind of difficult. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do as a blind person. You seem to be comfortable. Of course, I'm sure everybody in the world would like to see, but you seem to be comfortable without sight.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know if I don't know if I would want to see because I'd have to relearn everything,
you would.
I just learned how to cook and clean and do everything without sight. You know, I don't want to have to, I would have to learn how to read regular print.
So you have learned to cook and clean?
Yes, I've learned. I after I graduated from Chatham in December of 2006, I actually went to our local blindness training center and spent almost 4 months there in a residential adjustment to blindness training program, where I basically learned everything that I would need to know for when I finally got my apartment. Because I knew it was going to happen at some point. It just hasn't happened yet, you know. And I wanted to be as prepared as I could possibly be.
And what did you learn? What did you learn to cook? Can you fry eggs? Can you?
Yes.
Can you really?
Mm-hmm.
Does your mother cook a good bit or not?
She does actually cook a lot here, and that's one of the... I mean, it's a great thing because she's a wonderful cook, but while I'm here, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get the experience of practicing my cooking as much. I mean, I make myself breakfast and lunch, but...
Because you don't think Mom will let you? She wouldn't. She's kind of skittish about it.
I think she would. It's just, she's always got everything so planned for the week that she's like, oh, well, I'll just do it.
It's very hard for kids to learn from parents.
Right.
Because they have a bias. Their parents are, my mother was just the sweetest, loveliest lady. And to me, she was a sweet, lovely lady, but she could make me mad quicker than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she
yes.
Could really. Well, listen, what I want you to do, like I said, we're going to be in Pittsburgh in a couple weeks. Email me a couple of contact numbers where I can find you, and maybe that Saturday, if we have time and you have time, we'll take you to lunch.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
And visit with you a few minutes. My wife and I and this lady, Giovanna, are coming to Pittsburgh to see Dan Rossi, but we'll include you also. If you'll email me some contact numbers, I'll call you.
I certainly will.
Allison Mervis, you seem like a sweet lady, and I'm looking forward to meeting you someday.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to it as well.
Hey, well, on this show, we'll give you a couple of years, and we'll find out how you're doing. If you're at the Met, well, we'll be proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Bless your heart. Talk to you in a minute.
Okay.
What the Skype thing says. Donovan Tilsley. What a great, Donovan Tilsley is the kind of name you'd say, from New York, here's Donovan Tilsley. You sound like an NPR guy, I don't know why. I just think that. Anyway, you're in Vancouver.
I am.
And before we get started, we might as well admit that you're a radio guy.
I am definitely a radio guy. From the age of, I guess it would be five and a half, I've been in love with radio.
Uh-huh.
I guess it all started back in 1990. I used to listen to this station in Vancouver, 650 CL 650 as it's called back then. Mm-hmm. And they had this legendary morning guy, Don Percy was his name, been all over Canada. I remember listening to him one morning and saying to my dad, just as he was going off to work, Dad, how do I get on the radio? And he said, son, there's two ways. You can either go down to the station and get on that way, or you can phone in.
So?
And so I took it upon myself, and I called in and somehow got myself on the air and phoned him up later that day and played him the tape of me being on the radio. And from then I just kind of developed this relationship over the phone with this guy, Don. And later that summer, I guess it would be summer of 1990, he says, why don't you come into the radio station? And so I come down there, do about an hour on the air. Why they let me on there, God only knows. I wasn't all that good. And just listen by those tapes now, and I think, oh, God, you sounded like that. And he put me on for an hour, and that's probably his limit, you know. And at the end of it, I kind of knew that I wanted to pursue a career in radio. Yeah. And that kind of idea has evolved and changed over the years as to how I would pursue it. But it's still radio broadcasting has always been a great love of mine.
Did he let you actually cue up some CDs and intro them? And what did he let you do?
Basically, just kind of banter back and forth with him. He had a producer, as I recall, who was behind the glass. So he was basically sitting there doing his show and communicating with the operator, with the producer, and talking to me and stuff. I didn't get into doing intros and extros and stuff on the air with him until later on. And then he always criticized because I had that, you know, disc jockey voice. I listened to the old Top 40 air checks and thought, you know, if I could go out there and say CIL 650 right now, hear the Beatles from 1965, and like he was more of a kind of an older style, and tried to dissuade me from that delivery.
Yeah, they don't do that. People don't do that anymore. That's not the delivery of today. But now he wasn't running the board. He was just sitting there at a microphone talking.
Yeah, exactly. He was just sitting at the microphone talking. I've been in studios where he went back to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and he ran the board there, and I got to do some things there. And in some other radio stations with people I've met, you know, look at the board and see how it's run. But at that first initial time, it was basically just a man in the studio with a microphone with a guy behind a glass, and that's all it was.
So I've never worked where you didn't run the board. And I've always run the board everywhere. You know, I'm running the board now.
Yeah, the big stations, I think, not so much today because it's fairly automated, but I know for certain radio stations, the engineer was a union job, and so the disc jockey would just do his thing, and if he even came close, like even, you know, pulled out a card out of the machine or touched something wasn't supposed
illegal.
To. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because you know,
And I think up north, I think there were a lot more union stations than, because I'm in Texas, and so we didn't have too many. Everybody that I knew, everybody in Houston, everybody everywhere ran the. I can't imagine working without running the board. It would be hard for a blind person because you'd have to have hand signals or listening to headphones, I guess. And you know, it's just I tried when we do also. You haven't heard it. We also do a show called Blind Handyman, and for a while I didn't run the board during that. A friend of mine ran the board. And it was really uncomfortable for me. I run the board now, but at that point in time I wasn't. It was just strange. So he let you come to the station. You made a, this was in, you say you're 20 what? 20?
23.
23. So you were born in, my heavens, you were just a kid if that was in 1990.
I just turned 6 years old and I was sitting in the station.
That's pretty good. And we used to say back when we used these things, we used to say he was vaccinated at that point in time with a phonograph needle. He's not quit. That's what we used to talk about. You have seen, you know what an LP is, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's when I started listening to music, I guess, when I was growing up. That's when parents still had records. CDs, I find, are way easier, and now with MP3s, of course.
Oh, yeah. And do you know what have you ever seen a 45 record?
Yeah, they're just a small little LP.
Yeah, they have one song on each side.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a standard. And of course, now we have CDs, and they're almost archaic technology now. You know,
almost like I'll tell you, I'm getting rid of most of my CD collection. I've pretty well ripped them all to MP3 just because I find it just as a blind person carrying around all these useless pieces of plastic. Like you got to label them, you got to do something with them. Whereas if they're all on your hard drive, all there right in front of you, it's way easier. And then, you know, I'm kind of lazy in that respect too. But it's, you know, you got to find out the methods that work for you.
Now you were Vancouver born and raised. Is that
I was indeed.
Been your home all your life.
That it has.
Uh-huh. What sort of schooling did they do as a child when they sent you to school? They send you to a blind school or a public school or what?
Oh no, I went to a public school for my elementary school from kindergarten through, as we say, grade 7
Is that right?
Here. Yeah, not seventh grade. It's the grade comes first, so it's not like sixth grade. It's grade six. And I don't know, just one of those Canadian-American quirks. I'm not sure why it's different, but in high school...
Yeah, they say grade 6 or grade 12 instead of 12th grade.
That's right, absolutely. In high school, I actually went to a private school, an all-boys school, St. George's, which I was the first blind student to attend there, but did fairly well over there. Had the chance to get involved, stayed on the honor roll, got involved in the swim team, because I'm a national level swimmer as well as being on the radio.
A national level swimmer, what does that entail? You swim competition?
Yeah, I've been to two Paralympic Games. I've been to Sydney 2000 and Athens 2004, and I'm on my way to Beijing in 2008.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you have some sort of practice facility at home that you can where you can practice swimming, or what?
Well, actually, we have a private club that our family are members of, and it's a pool, a weight room, tennis courts, all that. And so I go to the pool every morning, and believe it or not, my father's actually my main coach, and so he basically runs back and forth from one side of the pool to the other and taps me on the head with this kind of a plastic stick with a foam Q-tip on the end to make sure that I don't run into the wall.
Okay, so you're swimming, and while you're swimming across the pool, or the length of the pool, whatever, he is running to the other end and tapping you so you won't hit the wall. What a deal.
That's right.
Of course, being totally, you're totally blind, right? Am I right?
I'm totally blind. Have been since birth.
So you would have no way to observe other swimmers and see kind of what they did. They would have to teach you all this by showing you. Of course, you could learn to swim, but, you know, there's certain styles and certain things that sighted people do that you wouldn't know to do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. There's a fair bit of hand-over-hand in terms of teaching. When I was younger, people had to get in the water with me and come up behind me and say, here's how you do this with your arms, and this is how they're supposed to feel. And I still do that to some extent, like usually out of the water, just kind of mimicking a stroke, and then I try to get in the water and replicate what I've been shown.
Yeah. And your daddy comes and taps you on the head with his thing, and you know to flip around and go the other way.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. Did he go to the Paralympics with you.
He did. He went both times, and he'll be going the third time.
Now, this is for handicapped people only?
Paralympics, yeah. It's for people of all handicaps. Uh-huh. They're basically divided into all sorts of different categories. S1 through S10, which is just for different physical disabilities. S1 would pretty well be in a wheelchair bound, have probably missing some limbs, very little mobility. S10 would be something like, say, just a minor club foot, which is a slight handicap. Then there's S11 through 13, which is blind levels of blindness. S11 being me, completely blind. S12 being fairly blind, but you can still see a hand in front of your face. And S13 being just on the cusp of legally blind. And then there's S14, which is not in the Paralympics at this point because it's a rather hard category to classify, and that's a swimmer with both a physical and a mental disability.
So you would be swimming against your kind. You wouldn't be swimming against guys that had maybe one leg or one arm or that were physically handicapped.
Absolutely. In the Paralympics, I would be swimming against people who are in my disability category. Other national meets where there's less disabled swimmers, I would swim against people with other disabilities, but they would just rank the times differently according to points based off the world record. Say I might beat the guy with cerebral palsy, but his time might have been closer to a world record time, so he would get the gold medal. But in the Paralympics, it's all separate.
Did you win any medals? Did you?
In Sydney, I won a bronze medal, and in Athens, I won two silvers and a bronze.
Is that right? And you're going to China in 08?
That's the plan.
To compete, and your father will go with you?
He will.
He will. Well, that's pretty amazing in and of itself. Besides that, besides your interest in radio, what other sports are you interested in? Any other kind except swimming?
Oh, I love to ski. You know, if I wasn't swimming, I would be living up in Whistler, which is our ski resort 2 hours away from Vancouver, be a full-time ski bum, because there's nothing like, as a blind person, I think skiing is one of the most empowering sports, because all you really need is the guide to tell you which way to turn, and that doesn't even need to occur all the time. And it's basically just you against the mountain, and it's incredibly incredible feeling of freedom just to be skiing down those slopes.
But now, if a person was directing you or giving you some direction, how would they do that? Can they do that just by, is there so much noise they can't just talk to you, or can they do
There's way too much noise for them to talk to me. When I'm skiing, I have a walkie-talkie system, an earpiece in my ear, and they have a microphone, and they ski behind me and tell me which way to turn. Hang on.
Wow, we want to talk over that number so nobody will hear it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we talk.
I'm going to let the message machine take that.
Yeah, we'll let the message machine take that. So you've got a good talking caller ID there, I see.
Yeah.
I see. And it seems to work pretty good. Well, that's great that you're able to ski. Of course, you live close to Whistler.
I do.
I haven't been, but my nieces and nephews and my wife and her brothers have been to Whistler a couple of times, and I didn't go. I guess I'll go next time and come hang out with you.
Definitely, Phil. It's worthwhile. We'll go up skiing, and then the best part at the end, we'll share a few beers at the end of the day.
We'll share a few beers, and we'll sit around and play radio.
Absolutely.
That's what I love to do. All right. So you graduated from this all-boys academy, all-boys school?
High school, yeah. That was in 2002. And then I'm currently completing my degree in English literature at the University of British Columbia.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're going to school. You're in college now.
That's right.
Okay. All right, let me make a little joke now. Okay, English literature, did you say?
Yeah, English literature.
What in the world do you think you can do with a degree in English literature?
Well, sometimes I wonder that myself, too. I'm not a science person. I'm not much into, say, political science or economics. I enjoy reading, so it seemed like the approach to take. Now, afterwards, I'm probably going to have to go for some more schooling. Probably won't be a master's, but I'm thinking broadcast school or law school is another idea. But my initial thought was after high school was to go right into broadcasting school. But my parents kind of dissuaded me from that, saying that it was better to have the university experience. And I look back on it now, and I don't regret it 100%. I'm glad I did what I did, because broadcasting school and any of those shorter programs are great, because you have maybe a 2-year intensive program, get your diploma, move on. But at the university, at the college level, I find it's really broadened my social network. Say I've gotten involved in school, I've joined a fraternity, Sigma Chi, on the UBC campus, which has broadened my horizons. You know, and things I wouldn't have been able to do if I just went, say, to a broadcasting school. So that's, and it's taught me how to think too.
You are not taking any broadcasting courses now.
Not at the moment. I'm planning to go to an institution to take a voiceover course in the coming year. But all of my broadcast, I don't know, training, if you can call it that, experience has just been the people I've met and being in radio stations and somewhat self-taught, although I still have a far way to go there.
So there is actually a course you can take in doing voiceovers? Voiceover
work? There is a course you can take in doing voiceovers, because they're, of course, you know, there's professional voiceover talents, and they do quite well for themselves.
I would love to see or know what they would teach you in voiceover school.
Probably just inflection. How to inflection, pacing. Who knows? Yeah. I'm very interested in pursuing it myself, because there's quite a few little tricks, I think, to go from just a reasonable voice talent to a great voice talent.
Probably so, but maybe when you take that, we can kind of take it along with you. We can call and you can tell us what sorts of things they would teach you. I've done thousands of I've done millions of voiceovers, and never went to voiceover school. Maybe I would have done more if I had. But, you know, if you're doing the funeral home spot, you want to sound like this. And if you're doing the seer spot, you want to sound like this. Thank you. I just put you through voiceover school. Pretty exciting.
Well, you've had so many more years of experience. I could probably pick that up from just the experience.
You can. I don't know about broadcasting school. I don't really know. If you want to work in radio, go somewhere and tell them you'll work weekends and they'll hire you.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work quite that way anymore. Like radio,
it doesn't, does it? Because nobody's there anymore.
Absolutely. Like that's actually, it's sad but true. But I've kind of come to the conclusion that I could pursue radio full time, but I don't think it would be a very fulfilling career in terms, just because of the way consolidation works. I know it's a big deal in the U.S. It's just getting going in Canada, but where they have one person voice tracking shows for in five different markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly competitive for the sighted world, not let alone somebody who is completely blind and who is facing more stereotypes and prejudices. So not to sound like a quitter or anything like that. I look at it very logically that there's not a lot of opportunities out there unless you're willing to move to, you know, the middle of nowhere, make little or nothing for 5 years of your life. And, possibly never advance beyond a certain point, whereas there's certain it's hard to say.
You've got a lot of life left, and if you want to go play radio for 3, 4, or 5 years, why not?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that? You know, what's nothing wrong with that. You realize what it took me years to realize. Well, I guess, I was telling a guy yesterday, actually my music supported my radio habit. I was always able to make a lot more money playing music than I was doing radio, but radio was my love. But, you know, you're going to live along. By the time you're my age, people will be living to be 125. And you're going to live along. So if you want to go play radio, you got nobody to worry about but yourself, why not do it? Try it. Why not?
Good point.
The only way you're going to get it out of your system is go do it. Trust me. The happiest I was, I remember, I'm managing a little station up here. I think I was making $700 a month. I was managing a little radio station, and then I was paying the disc jockeys $100 a week. And I'd hire these kids from Columbia Broadcasting to come up and do nights, and I'd tell them, I'll give you $100 a week and all the records you can eat, but you have to agree to stay 6 months. If you'll agree to stay 6 months, I'll hire you. So I hired, and they'd stay about 6 months and realize there ain't no money in this and it ain't any fun, and go home.
Yeah.
So, you probably need to go scratch that itch.
Yeah, you're right, and that's what I'm kind of doing right now with this little radio station that I'm managing up in Whistler.
Yeah,
I'm not managing, but I'm a partner in.
I wanted to get into that. You were doing some work for. There's a new FM in Whistler, licensed, I guess, to the city of Whistler. I don't know how the Canadians do their licensing. I guess they license it to the city, or you have to serve a city like they do in the U.S. or what?
Well, yeah, you have to serve a city, but it's basically like it's licensed to the license. And C, which is our company, Four Senses Entertainment. You probably get the pun there. There's, of course, because I'm involved in there. There's not a fifth sense.
I have you. Four Senses Entertainment, and they own the license to the radio station. This is an FM?
That's right. It's a low-power FM, so 10 watts.
But if you're on a decent frequency and your antenna's up pretty high, 10 watts will get you good range, pretty good range.
Certainly has so far. Our operations manager has done fairly well with that. He basically put in a new processor, which has boosted the frequency, so you can get it, say, 30 miles on either side of Whistler, which is pretty incredible.
Well, a new processor. What do you mean by new? You mean audio processor or what?
Audio processor, yeah, to hook into the transmitter
and
basically strengthen the signal.
That keeps keeps the levels or keeps the audio up all the
Absolutely.
Time. And but you're not there at the transmitter. You're at home.
I'm at home. I'm at home in my bedroom. The transmitter is basically in the attic of a hotel. Like, it's a blind person's nightmare to get to. Like, I'm glad that I'm not the one who has to take care of it, because there's pipes you have to step over and things you have to get around. You get this small little box. I'll never forget the first time I visited it. I thought, wow, this is what we're buying, this dusty little thing, this radio station. And basically, the transmitter now is hooked into a computer, from which all our features, our commercials, are uploaded and put into the computer, and that feed goes out over the transmitter, which goes out over the air.
So what you do, you upload to the internet, or you do it to, you upload it and then they download what they want of what you, how do you communicate with the transmitter?
What I use is an FTP server, and basically all the voice bits I've done for commercials, I upload to the FTP server.
And they go download them to the and put them in the computer.
Absolutely. There's a them in a special player on the computer, which rotates the programming on a time clock.
Now, are they playing music most of the time, or what do they do most of the time?
Actually, no. Our license forbids us from playing music. Believe it or not, it's a tourist information station.
Okay.
So basically, when people drive into Whistler and they turn on 88.7 Whistler FM, they get up to the minute tourist information. We have features dealing with family fun activities, extreme sports, spa services, professional services in and around Whistler accommodations. Nightlife, one of my favorites, and we do have that, and then we have a certain number of hours of commercial time per hour. The part where we kind of bend the rules a little bit, and you might find this interesting, is overnight I'm basically the producer and host of what we like to call the Midnight Theater, and that's when we turn back the dial and play some of the radio broadcasts from the golden age of radio, so The Shadow,
yeah.
Dragnet, Suspense,
Lone
Ranger, yep, Johnny Dollar, what I was listening to last night.
Yeah.
And basically we play that overnight is kind of, because Whistler...
What's wrong with that? I think that's great.
I think so, too. Whistler is a young town, and at that time of the night, there's either going to be people driving around, driving down the highway towards Vancouver or up into Whistler. There'll be people leaving work, like, say, the bartenders, restaurant waiters, waitresses, and there'll be people coming home from a night out on the town. And it's something that they can listen to, an alternative to the jukebox formats that you find on other radio stations.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You could do that. Or you could play Top 40, or you could play country, you could play some crap that everybody else is playing. I think that's great that you're doing that. How do you get what you're doing at home to the transmitter at night?
Well, it goes through a few different processes. I basically record the kind of the intros, the extras to the shows that I'm going to be playing.
Okay.
Rob, who's our IT guy... and I must say that I'm the only blind person on the staff. The rest of the guys are sighted, and so he basically takes the voice bits that I've done and puts it into a player which runs the station. And he's going to show me how it works, because eventually I'm going to be taking more and more production responsibility for this station. He basically uploads those files into the player so they can run in a certain order. And I have a whole stack of CDs with old-time radio MP3s on them, which I also upload from home. And he puts those in as well and makes sure that they play sequentially.
Okay, so you're not doing the program live. You send him the bits and he puts it together.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
and at some point down the line, I'm going to be able to put it all together and upload to the transmitter, to the computer running the station independently, and that's the ultimate goal.
You know, as good as the quality is on Skype, you could damn near do it with Skype.
You could do it with Skype.
I think you could. I've never taken a frequency reading on Skype, run a tone generator to see what the actual frequency response of Skype is, but it's pretty good, man.
It's good.
I believe a guy could do it from home. If they just patched you in with Skype, you'd be on the air live every night. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be cool. I'm not sure if we're set up to go live, but I'm sure that's something that we're working on.
They could. That just be a step on the computer. You know, the step would be it would tie into the step would tie into the telephone. It would tie into the to a computer that would have Skype on it.
That's right.
And you could make the computer. Can you hear the station where you are?
No, I can't. The only way I can hear it is going to a web stream. And unfortunately, because bandwidth costs so much, we basically have the web stream limited to, say, 10 hits at a time. Just for the kind of the owners, operators, maybe friends, just to tune it in and
okay.
listen.
Well, I was going to get you to give a web address, but we don't want people to go listen, do we?
No, I can't. I can give the website address, and unfortunately, the website is not up yet. But in the next month, if you go to www.whistlerfm, that's whistlerfm.ca, you'll be able to at least view the website. Unfortunately, yeah, I'd love for people to be able to listen. But at this stage of the game, it would just crash our system and cost us too much.
Oh, we don't want that. But eventually, you're going to have it up running where people can go listen to the stream and can listen to your old-time radio at night.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can listen to the stream. Cool. They can listen during the day for kind of the features if they say they're maybe planning a trip to Whistler, because I know that there's some blind people out there who maybe want to get back involved with skiing. And Whistler has an amazing program for adaptive sports, adaptive skiing. So, if they want to get a feel for Whistler, maybe listen to what accommodations, listen to kind of the what activities are going on, just to get a feel for the city. Maybe they can tune in the station during the day. And absolutely, I would challenge anybody who's listening right now who's blind, visually impaired, who's maybe never tried skiing before or lost their sight, not sure if they can get back on skis, consider Whistler, because it's one of the best mountains in the world. We have the Olympics coming up in 2010, the Vancouver Whistler Winter Olympics. It's going to be amazing draw, amazing crowd drawn to this city.
Oh, man, it will
be. Whistler. Yeah, and the Whistler Adaptive Sports Program is worth checking out, because they've got over 70-some-odd volunteers who are trained in all types of adaptive skiing, whether it be sit skiing for paraplegics or blind skiing for people such as ourselves. So come on up to Whistler, and we'll treat you well.
Whistler Adaptive Sports. In other words, if you wanted to learn to ski, this would be a good place to do it.
The Whistler Adaptive Sports Program. It's WASP. I think the website there is wasp.org or wasp.ca. I think it's wasp.org, but just think of WASP, Whistler Adaptive Sports Program.
And they have a website also.
They do.
All right. Now, what is the radio station website one more time before we go?
It is www.whistlerfm.ca.
WHISTLER.
FM.ca. CA for Canada.
CA, but not NET or ORG or any of that, just .ca.
.ca, that's right.
All right, sir. And that is your main thrust right now, is doing things for this radio station.
Absolutely. I must put out a call, if there's anybody out there listening who's, I'm working with a program called SoundForge.
Yes.
And SoundForge Audio Studio. And if there's anybody out there who has any tutorial information on SoundForge for the blind, I would appreciate it, because there was a tutorial circulating a while back done by Jonathan Mosen, and it seems to be out of circulation.
Oh, I bet somebody knows where that is. Jonathan is still around. There was a guy in England at one time who did a tutorial, a SoundForge tutorial. I had it at one time, but I don't know where that is. Are you familiar with the little program called GoldWave?
Oh, I'm familiar with GoldWave. I'm not sure. I think I got SoundForge. It just seemed like there was maybe possibly more user-friendly, and it seemed like it was more for high-level audio production. GoldWave definitely has its benefits, but from what I've gathered from the research I've done is that audio editing programs for the blind, it's very subjective. It's what you personally feel works best for you. There's no one industry standard. It would be great if there was, but everybody has their own preference.
Well, whatever the keystrokes that you're used to.
Absolutely.
And if you're used to GoldWave, which I use, and I'm going to put you in touch. I've got a friend who lives in Boston that is a GoldWave expert. I'm going to give him your email address and maybe get you two together, and he can teach you the finer points of GoldWave. Because I don't know what SoundForge does, but in terms of editing, I don't see how it get any easier than GoldWave. It's just, it's the you put a mark and you hit delete, and what's between the marks is gone.
Okay.
It's just that easy. And if you don't like that, then you go back and do undo, and it's back.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you have to do is create a new file every time you, when you change the file, you have to give it a new name. which is, you know, normal. It's a pain, but I bet you have to do the same thing with SoundForge.
Oh, yeah. You have to do the probably exact same thing.
All right. Well, we're going to go and Whistler FM. Maybe we'll come skiing with the guys next time and hang out at Whistler and try to visit with you a little bit.
I would love that. And
all right,
any of you come up to Whistler, give me a call.
All right. Do you want to give a your email address?
Sure.
If you don't mind, so if somebody found that SoundForge tutorial, they might be willing to share it with you or to send you a link to it.
Okay, I'll just give mine at the station because it's probably the easiest to remember. It's Donovan, that's D-O-N-O-V-A-N, at WhistlerFM.ca. That's Donovan at WhistlerFM.ca.
All right, Donovan Tilsley in New York, or actually in Vancouver, here's Donovan Tilsley. See, you just NPR. Someday we'll hire you, I'm sure.
And that's the news.
That's the news. I'm Donovan Tilsley. See, it just works, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed.
Ben, it's been a pleasure, and good luck, and let me know when you get up and streaming so we can let everybody else know.
I definitely will. Thank you for having me on today, Phil.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Bye.
Well, another guy who is... Succumbed to the great love of radio. Will be frustrated most of his life, probably. Donovan Tilsley, what a nice fellow. What a good voice he has for a young guy. I think he's 20. You remember how old he said he was? 23, 24, 25? Certainly has a good voice for a young fellow like that. Well, we failed to mention most times. We'll try to remember more often our lists that we have that allow you to talk to other blind people who are fans of the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me. We have two lists. We have the Blind Like Me list, which is blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And Blind Handyman, the same thing, blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Those lists are run by Don Shaw and Boop and David Farron, and I think a lot of who else moderates those lists, but we'd love to have you on those lists. Lots of interesting folks on both lists. If you have any project that you're handyman thinking about doing, someone's already done it, I guarantee you. Someone will be able to help you and guide you through whatever project you want to do as far as handyman stuff is concerned. Blind Like Me list, we just talk. We don't really have a topic to a subject. We just have fun with each other and kibitz. And that's still a good word, I suppose. Anyway, come and be a guest on our show if you'd like to do that. My email address that we're using now is Philpar, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at consolidated.net. PhilparConsolidated.net. That will get you to me, and I would love to have you as a guest. I don't care who you are or where you are. If you have vision problems, if you're blind, partially blind, we need you as a guest on this show. Okay? PhilparConsolidated.net. What else should we tell you? Anyway, we'll do this again next week. We hope you'll come and see us. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have ideas for shows for either the handyman or the blind like me, let us know. Philpar@consolidated, CONSOLIDATED.net. We'll see you next week for more Blind Like Me. Bye-bye.